In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Volume 22, September 14th, 1927. And Jesus is speaking to Louisa, and he says, "My daughter, in each act that my celestial mama, Mary, did for me, and they were continuous, I repaid her with a decree of graces." So here, you know, what Jesus is showing us is you can never outdo God in generosity. So when we get closer to the Lord and pray, fast, do penance, convert, when we, during Lent, mortify ourselves, what happens is we're always repaid with a degree of graces as well. The Lord can never lets us outdo him in generosity. And so he's filling us with more light, more love, more life. And so he says, "Because I, God, do not let myself be beaten nor surpassed by the acts of humanity. I am the insuperable." So here is, he really shows himself as our God, our Savior, our King, our Master. And again, this is something that we discover as we turn to the Lord. And, you know, at first it can be, you know, amazing, you know, just he overpowers us with his love. And a lot of people think at that point that is the being born again. That your whole life becomes happier, peacefuler, more peaceful, joyful. And you just say, I've never experienced this before. And a lot of other times it's the Lord is gently, slowly leading us closer to him. He doesn't overwhelm us, but he lets us become aware of his love, his light, his life. And this is what Jesus wants us to understand, especially in the divine will. When you do your prayers, when you do your acts in the divine will, when you pray your rounds in the divine will, it's a new beginning for each and every one of us. And it is really exciting because when you read the Book of Heaven every day, it's this new and divine way of holiness is he's breathing into us. And why is it new and divine? Because that's God. God is ever new. God is ever glorious. And he wants us to participate in him. Now, when we are away from God, all we have is darkness. And when we get closer to the Lord, he gives us his light. He lets us share in his life, this love of God. And he this is what he teaches Louisa, that this life of image and likeness of God is what God wanted for humanity from the beginning. But because of Adam's failure to obey, to be faithful, his failure, we've been basically here on earth. This is our, if you want to say punishment, because of what Adam had done. Adam, the father of humanity, in charge of humanity, chose to listen to the evil one through Eve. And we had to leave paradise. This is where we're supposed to be in eternity. And so Adam had to leave paradise and take his family with him. For the last 6,000 years, we've been under the thumb of the evil one who is the prince of this earth. But this is coming to an end. This is why this is so great to be alive at this point, because we're going to experience that which the saints, the holy people of the Old Testament, the saints of the New Testament, we're longing for this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer that God gave to, that Jesus gave to the apostles is being fulfilled. We're seeing it happen. And it looks as if everything is falling apart, but in reality, he's getting everything in order. God is getting everything in order. He has to give to humanity what they want. What does humanity want? By being here on earth, we have been, as Jesus said, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning to the earth. We've been under his thumb, except for 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, Our Lady came as the new Adam and the new Eve, and we were redeemed, which means we're ready. We're ready to go back to where we were before the fall. So this redemption that we find is the first stage of getting back into God's image, and that's through holy baptism. And then everything, the sacraments and sacramentals, our dogma and doctrine, our tradition, the sacred scripture, everything leads us back to this fullness that God wants us to participate in. So he says, therefore, if my dear mama, Mary, gave me love, acts, steps, words, I, in each degree of grace, gave her a divine life, because grace is nothing other than the bilocated life of God that gives itself to creatures. So here he's helping us understand that it's more than being good and holy and saintly. That's what the saints have taught us, how to do the will of God. So he says, when someone like his mother gives him love, acts, steps, words, I, Jesus said, in each degree of grace, give my mother, first of all, a divine life. And now He's doing this now with Luisa. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn in the divine will. She's the first human born of original sin who is breathing in this Ruach of God, this breath of God, as Adam did. But it's not the fullness that God breathed into Adam, because he says Adam wasn't Adam was dust. He could breathe into the dust as much as he wanted. And what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. That was Adam. And now Jesus says, because we are formed, we're not just dust. He says that he can't expand our capacity to embrace him like dust. So he says to Luisa, this expanding of capacity of understanding God is little by little. Again, this is the great thing of the gift of the divine will. This, as you read, Jesus says, each word that the word of God, Jesus Christ, says, that he expresses, is a divine life. And this is why he says, I give this divine life to my mother, because grace is nothing other than the bilocated life of God that gives itself to humanity, that gives itself to creatures. So this breath of God that Jesus breathes into Luisa is word by word. This divine life that was given to the Blessed Mother is the bilocated life of God. So as Jesus tells Luisa, the gift that I give to humanity in the divine will is bilocation. It's not the bilocation of the saints. See, some people say, well, I can be like a saint now. I can go places, be with someplace else where, you know, where I want to be. And it's no, God takes us where he wants us to be. When in your prayer, you'll be surprised, praying your rounds, praying, doing your acts in the divine will, where Jesus will take you. He took Luisa all over the universe. That's when you go to Corrado and you look at her socks, her little socks, they're dirty. I mean, even washing them, they're still dirty. And the white socks, and they're filled with holes. I mean, as she's walking, she's wearing out these socks. She's getting them dirty, walking through the universe. Jesus toured her through the universe, and you can see that this actually happened. You see her socks. Why? I mean, I've said this before, but when I first saw her socks, I said, the poor little thing, You know, here they give her used socks that to wear in her bed. And then when you read, you discover Jesus has taken her through the universe. This bivocation is what he gives to us as well. Your whole prayer life changes in the divine will. As you begin to pray, you let Jesus take you where he wants to take you. He'll take you to, again, Golgotha, to witness the crucifixion. There's no time or space in the divine will. He'll take us to Nazareth. He'll take us to Bethlehem. He'll take us to Capernaum. He'll take us to Cana. He wants us to experience visually, if you want to say, with your mind's eye, this reality. And this is the thing that is so beautiful about the divine will. It's not saintly. It's not just saintly, good and holy. The saints have gone through, is doing the will of God. And that's really volume 1 through volume 10, but to live in divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that's little by little. It doesn't come at you all at once because God has to expand your capacity to enter into this life. There will be a time when the second Pentecost will happen and everyone will experience it, but that's not here yet. So he's getting us ready little by little. And like I said, it seems like you're born again. It seems like, wow, this is so dramatic. I've completely changed. But again, this is very minute compared to what's coming. When some people, when they get into the divine will, they say, oh, I'm living in the fourth stage. And it's like, you're not even close to the fourth stage. Why? It took Louisa 70 plus years to get to that fourth stage. Jesus said, when I'm completed with you, Louisa, when everything is done, when you are filled to overflowing, I'll take you to heaven. And that's when she was close, 80 some years old when she died. And that was 9 years after the last two volumes were written, volume 35 and 36. And this is what she studied for the last 9 years of her life. All the other volumes were taken away. 1 through 19 were printed in the 20s. So she had that because, you know, I mentioned before, Father Archbishop Corrata, when he was the Archbishop of Corrado before the cause began, he studied, they studied Louisa in the seminary. This was unbelievable. And a lot of people got upset because they said, why didn't, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, why didn't, you know, St. Francis talk about this? Well, it wasn't given to them. It was given to Louisa. This gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, as Father Bucci says, is for our time. He said, as St. Francis was for his time, Louisa is for our time. And as we enter into this gift, as we begin to study, what happens is this bilocated life of God is given to us little by little. It's a speck. It's a molecule compared to the abundant life that's there. And the reason is God is trying to get our attention to let go of our human will and enter into the divine will. So Jesus says to Louisa, what a great difference between an act that a creature can give and a divine life that God gives at each of their acts. So every time you say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heartbeat. And when you wake up in the morning and you do your prevenient act, you know, I want this day to be the Lord's day. I want this day to honor the Lord, to glorify the God, to praise him, to love him in the way Jesus praised the Father. So it's not a human, I love you. So what happens at that point in the divine will is Jesus says, let me show you how to do this little by little. And as you begin to breathe in the divine will, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, as you begin to have your heart beat in the divine will, that desire to be with Jesus, this consecration that you make of Jesus and Mary to your heart, that becomes their throne, the throne of Jesus, the throne of Mary in your life. Little by little, God is expanding your capacity to get to the point where when he sees humanity wanting this more than anything, he says, then this great gift of like the second Pentecost will be given to the world. And when that happens, that new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II predicted is going to have its fullness. But at this point, it's not here yet. How do we know this? Well, the life that Jesus and Mary possessed, okay, the true life of Jesus and Mary that they possessed on earth was full, if you want to say, overflowing as Jesus ascended into heaven, as Our Lady assumed into heaven. Because this body can't endure this beauty, this love that is so magnificent that this is a fallen nature, cannot endure. So we have to have a glorified body. That's why we say that in the creed. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. I believe in the life to come. It's this new and divine way of holiness is very close. That's why everything in the world seems to be falling apart in your family, in your town, in your nation, in the world. Everything seems to be falling apart because God's getting everything ready for what? The kingdom of God being established on earth, this dust. He says, the kingdom of God is within you as it is in heaven. That's what God was going to bring about. So little by little, he teaches us, he leads us, he guides us, he directs us through the writings, these lessons that Jesus is giving to Louisa. And as we enter into this life, Jesus says there is a great difference between an act, Jesus breathed in my breathing, that a creature can give and a divine life that God gives in each of our acts. So today is going to be greater than yesterday in the divine will. Tomorrow is going to be greater than today because he's going to teach us how to long for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, as the Essenes longed for the Messiah. Remember when there's three groups, the Essenes, the Pharisees, and the scribes. Nobody came to the tomb, Nobody came to Bethlehem to see Jesus born of Mary. None of the rabbis, none of the priests, none of the holy men, no one showed up there. None of the Sadducees, none of the Pharisees. It was the shepherds, the wise men. Those are the two groups that are rejected even today. The wise men were considered superstitious. We wear the scapular. We pray the rosary. We spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We go to confession. We go to Holy Mass. And people say, what do you believe this? Yes, we believe it. And we're considered like superstitious, you know. There's something wrong with you. And then there's the shepherds. Smelled very bad. You know, they had a sheep pool outside the temple. Wash those sheep, get them in, you know, get that smell out of them and leave. We'll pay you for the sheep and just leave. The Lord has got great plans, and everything is changing. Everything is at that point that everything's going to change. Jesus says, or scripture says, in the twinkling of an eye, he tells Louisa in this moment, this great gift is going to happen. He says, when I find that the souls who want the divine will are living in the divine will, are striving to perfect themselves, he says, I will give it to the world. So this hasn't happened yet. We're right at the beginning of this gift of gifts. Even though, you know, when you read the the three appeals, when you read the three appeals, that was the request of St. Honorable de Francia to Louisa. He's in the 20s, 1920, 100 years ago. He said to Louisa, could you have Jesus and Mary explain why the divine will is so important today? So Jesus did this, Mary did this, and then St. Honorable said, and Louisa, what do you have to say? So you have the three appeals of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. When you read the three appeals, you realize that everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. This new and divine way of holiness, of this great gift of the divine will, is so close. It's so close that he has to say to all of humanity, you know, what do you want? Because whatever you want is what I want to give to you. Whatever you want, I want to give to you. He gave the devil hell because that's what the devil wanted. He can't force us to breathe in this breath of God. He can't force us to. Like each word that we read, he says, is a puff that expands your capacity to understand more about these lessons that Jesus is giving to us every day. He's asking us to want what the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting that drop of water into the chalice filled with wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. So this new and divine way of holiness that's coming to all the world, it's here. And Jesus says, to prove that this is going to happen, he says, I've given you the book of heaven. And as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, everything in sacred scripture becomes alive. Everything in dogma and doctrine becomes alive. You feel like you're born again, but it's only the beginning. See, this goes on for all eternity, and every day is going to be more beautiful than the last. Why? As we breathe in this life, this Ruah of God, this breath of God, that God breathed into Adam, this fullness of life, we really begin, as Jesus says to Louisa, this bilocated of life, this life of God is breathed into us with every act that we do, every round that we make. We begin to see and to hear and to smell and to taste and to touch all the I love yous in creation with our senses. Our senses, Jesus said in volume 36 to Louisa, were made for God. We are to become alive in love, recognizing the I love yous of creation, all the beauty of creation. Like it's fall, you know, at this point, at this time, and the colors. When, you know, the colors are amazing, but when the sun shines on there, when you have the blue sky and the white clouds and the colors on the earth, it's magnificent how our God is so amazing that he delights our eyes in just seeing. And then the birds, you know, the animals, listening to them, it delights our ears to hear this I love you of creation, going to the throne of God. And Jesus said to Adam, I want you to be the voice. I want you to be the I love you of all creation. So with the beauty of the leaves on the tree changing, it's saying to Jesus, the Father, in the name of Jesus, under the mantle of Mary, this divine I love you back to God. Everything changes. Your whole prayer life changes. I mean, we've been disciplined to pray the prayers of the saints. You know, these are St. Teresa's prayers. These are St. Gertrude's prayers. These are St. Francis' prayers. So this divine, this I love you from a human perspective is doing the will of God. But when you enter into the divine will, Jesus says, I'm going to show you what to pray for. And a lot of people get upset at first, because they're doing their prayers. You know, we follow the rules and regulations. What are the prayers? How do you do this? And, you know, the thing about the divine will, there's no rules and regulations. It's your heart. How much do you want to love God? Do you want to do it 30, 60, or 100%? How are you loving God? Are you loving God with the eyes of Jesus gazing in your gazing? With the eyes of Mary gazing in your gazing, the new Adam and the new Eve? Are you beginning to see the I love yous? Are you beginning to hear the I love yous? Say, for example, when you're praying and all of a sudden there's a dog barking. I know a number of people, when they're at adoration, they're trying to pray their prayers and there's a dog barking. Arr, 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 arr. And they go, that dog's driving me nuts. I can't concentrate on my prayer, my prayers. In the divine will, Jesus says, I want you to, all the animals that ever barked, all the animals that ever mooed, all the animals that ever, you know, chirped, the birds, the everything, I want you to give to God these divine I love yous. Would you be the voice of all the animals? So what happens is when you're doing your prayers, my prayers, and there's a dog barking, God's saying, tell God in the name of that, all the animals, that you love him with their barks, with their yelps, with their chirps. And what happens is he begins to lead you, guide you, direct you into, with your mind's eye, all the I love yous of creation, you know, the frogs, even the fish that you really can't hear, but you can see their mouths opening when they're in the water. Everything takes on a new beauty, a new love that you've never experienced before. Because then when you teach your children how to give a divine I love you back to God, what do you want to give to God as an I love you in creation? And the answers of the children are astonishing. They see things, they hear things that we have forgotten. They say that a child laughs 90% of the time. An adult, a grown-up, a grump, laughs 10% of the time. We've got to, that's why Jesus says, you know, you have to be childlike. You have to be children. When you show them a flower, they're, you know, the first time you show them a little flower, they're astonished by it. Like, whoa, this is amazing. A beauty that they've never seen before. It's the same thing for us. As we enter into the divine will, we begin to see things from a childlike perspective. And I mean, it doesn't mean you're like a good friend of mine in Ireland. He is Father Cole. He was a cowl. He was like a scientist, a chemist. He taught chemistry, and he told me that he could see things from a chemical perspective, that this belongs to this, and this is linked to this, and this is, has this over here. And he would say these things. And he said his whole understanding of God changed, in the divine will, because it expanded his capacity to see things, to hear things from a scientific point of view. It's the same thing here. This bilocated life, there's no limit to this. And Jesus is asking us to be the voice, as he asked Adam, as he asked Louisa, to give the I love yous back to God from all of creation in the name of everyone and everything. That was, I could never understand that at first. Everyone and everything. I could say understand everyone, but everything. Why everything? Because we are to be the voice of all of creation, praising God and loving God and glorifying God. That's the rounds. When you pray the rounds, you're falling in love with God. You're seeing in detail the hues and the tones of the colors of the sounds that you've never seen before. As in, I love you to God. You know, the frequencies, as in, I love you to God. So Jesus says, what a great difference is between an act that a creature can give and a divine life that God gives at each of our acts. So the Queen of Heaven was immensely rich with so many divine lives. See, this is what God is going to do with us. He's going to fill us with these divine lives of these I love yous of creation. Every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water, everything is a divine I love you. And again, we get a glimpse of this when we walk on the beach and never been on the beach before. And you look and you go, wow. And you pick up something. Look at this. That was placed there by God for you to fall in love with God. This, whatever, a stone or a shell, whatever is an I love you to us personally from God. And he's saying, I want you to see all the I love yous of creation. That's what Adam did. Adam was in ecstasy of God by seeing all the beauty that God had given to him. He said, Jesus said, all of creation, all of the universe was made for man. The ultimate gift was humanity. And humanity was supposed to be the voice of all of creation, praising God and loving God and glorifying God, worshiping God. So Jesus is saying to us, so the Queen of Heaven was immensely rich with so many divine lives that she received at each instant. She used them to form the cottage, to honor, to love with divine lives, Jesus, her son, and her all. So here she became one with Jesus, with the reflection of all the honor and love of all the divine lives that she had done. Every heartbeat, every breath is to give honor and glory and praise to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus under the mantle of Mary, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit. This life that God wants to breathe in us. It's like what I see the Book of Heaven is the ticket, if you want to say, to get on the train, to get on the boat, to get in the plane and go and begin to live in heaven. Little by little, it's this new and divine way of holiness that God wants to breathe into us. And so he's asking us, are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to say fiat? And that's all it takes. When Our Lady said to the angel, how can this be? How can I help God that I will become the mother? I mean, how can that happen? She says, I'm not going to know man. I've made a vow of virginity. I'm not going to know man. How can I become the mother? What do I need to do to accomplish what God has planned for me? That's what Our Lady said to the angel, basically. And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. Yes, I want this. It's the way God has planned. It's the same thing now with the divine will. How can we begin to share this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, that Adam lost, our Adam, the first father, he lost it, Eve lost it. How can we now begin to be in God's image and likeness? And it's the same thing. It's through be through the power of the Holy Spirit. That great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the second Pentecost that's coming, this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied was coming, which was echoing St. Honorable de Francia's understanding of the divine will through Louisa. This new and divine way of holiness is close. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. It's world without end. And remember that. Amen. So what God is asking of us is begin to want this fiat, with this fiat, this life of Jesus and Mary. Begin to live this abundant life of, as Jesus says to us through Louisa, this grace of the bilocated life of God to us for every thought, every word, every deed. So like when you pray, when you do your act of contrition at night, when you make that act of contrition, you say it in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. You want all of humanity to echo that act of contrition in the name of humanity. And what happens at that point, God says, I accept that prayer as if all humanity said this prayer with your voice. So this is repairing the face of the earth. This is renewing the face of the earth. And this is why the evil one is so angry, because he thought he stopped it when Adam and Eve left paradise. He thought it was ended when Jesus and Mary left the earth. But now with Louisa, and this is why this new and divine way of holiness is here. Now with Louisa, he's hearing that prayer that ended in paradise. He's hearing that prayer that Jesus and Mary prayed when they were on earth. And it's not just with one person, like with Adam and Eve. It's not just with one person, like with Jesus and Mary. It's not just with one person, with Louisa. It's all the people who are reading the Book of Heaven are beginning to praise God and love God and glorify God and worship God in the name of Jesus, in the name of Mary, echoing this, I love you to God. They're teaching us how to pray the way they prayed. This is why it is so amazing what's happening. It is so astonishing what was happening with this great gift of the divine will. It's a new beginning that our God is asking of us to enter into. So Jesus says this. So the Queen of Heaven was immensely rich with so many divine lives that she received at each instant, and she used them to form the cortege, the to honor, to love with divine lives, her son, her Jesus, her all. To go back to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, she said to Bruno in 1947, at Our Lady of Revelation said, I am the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. This life of Jesus and Mary is offered to us. How do you do it? As much as you want or as little as you want. Again, what are the rules and regulations of the divine will? It's your heart. Is Jesus consecrated there? Is Mary consecrated there? Is this their throne? If it's their throne, then we want our gaze to be their gaze. We want our voice to be their voice. We want our hearing to be their hearing. We want to enter into this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Why? To honor, to love with divine lives our triune God. So Jesus says, my divine will is not inferior to my holy humanity. Therefore, it deserves the same honor that my inseparable mother gave me. So Jesus says, I want we've known about his holy humanity for 2,000 years. But now Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into the interior life, my holy divine will. It deserves the same honor that my mother, Mary, gave me. This is why Jesus says, I want your acts following my acts. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, walk in my walking. He says, I want your acts to follow mine, that I, Jesus, may give you my divine life as many times as you want. 100% of the time or 10% of the time? What do you want? Jesus says. Do you want my life to reign in you? He says, I want you to follow my acts. I want you to gaze in my gaze. I want to gaze in your gazing as you gaze in my gazing. It looks like you're gazing, but it's me in you that's doing this. He says, therefore be attentive, he says to Louisa, and follow me faithfully. That's the prevenient act that we do every morning. Come divine will, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. Come divine will, gaze in my gazing. Listen in my listening, speak in my speaking, walk in my walking, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. I want your mother to be the queen of my life. I want nothing more than you and Mary to reign in me through the power of the Holy Spirit, to give to the Father all the honor, all the glory, all the praise that you gave to your Heavenly Father. And this is what I mean. It's you feel like you're born again every day when you read the Book of Heaven. It's a new beginning. More beautiful than the day before, more beautiful tomorrow than today. September 17th, 1927, volume 23. So for each blow that I give you, each breath that I give you, and this is what he's saying to Louisa, each word that I give you, I, Jesus, have prepared a truth to be manifested. So each truth that we read in the Book of Heaven is a breath of God. So each breath is a spark that the soul emits from herself. So as you breathe this in, it goes hand in hand. You breathe it in and you breathe it out. So I want you to give to God what I gave to the Father, what my mother gave to the Father. So as you breathe in this spark, this light, this love, this life, as the soul admits from herself, it will be my I love you, my mother's I love you, the new Adam and the new Eve. So he says, each breath is a spark. What's a spark for? I mean, just think of a spark plug. It sets a fire on, you know, the spark that's going to come from Poland, will set the world on fire. I do not lose them as does the smith in beating the iron, but I use them to invest those sparks of light with surprising truth that he has manifested to Louisa. So this truth is that you read, you go, yes. And when you're reading, you're always saying fiat. You're learning new and divine things that set your heart on fire. I mean, it's going to set the world on fire, Jesus says. The whole world is going to be consumed in this love of God. And what is the spark? It's the heart of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, this love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is going to set the world on fire. The world is going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. The world is going to be set on fire with the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, found in Louisa. This is a glorious time to be alive, and there's nothing to worry about. The thing that God is saying is, are you getting closer and closer to this I love you of God, this love, this life, this light of God? Are you getting closer to this? As you get closer to this, the kingdom is coming closer. You know, as you offer up all your sufferings, all your pains, and we're all suffering and going through pain, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, he says, unite it with me on the cross. Unite it with my mother at the foot of the cross, Jesus says. This I love you is going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This 2,000 years of praying the Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, is close. The evil one knows this, and he wants to destroy everyone and everything. It's not going to happen. God's going to win. God's going to win. And unfortunately, the majority do not want God. The majority don't want God. That's the sad part. Let's just think of Catholicism. You know, this is what Jesus and Mary, the universal life Jesus and Mary brought to the earth. Out of 8 billion, 1 billion are Catholic. It's not the majority. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to win, and my mother's going to win. The kingdom's going to be established. And he's saying, I'm calling you to be with me if you wish. He's not going to force us. So if you have the book of heaven, Jesus says, I've given you the book of heaven. That's what he tells Louisa. I've planned this. And he needs us to really begin to cooperate. So he says, as he says to Louisa, he says, this spark, the soul will admit from herself, one with Jesus, one with Mary. And I, God, do not lose them as a smith in beating iron, because I use us to invest those sparks of light with surprising truth of Jesus and Mary, such as to serve the soul as the most beautiful clothing, to administer to the soul the nourishment of divine life. That's that drop of water into the chalice. That drop of water becomes wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in humanity. These truths of the faith, this universal life, this Catholic life, will serve the soul as this beautiful clothing to administer to the soul the nourishment of divine life. Of what? Of the new Adam, of the new Eve. From how? Through Louisa. This is indeed a glorious time to be alive. Our God is offering this to us. I mean, he didn't offer this to the saints. He saved the best for last. This new and divine way of holiness is ours if we wish. How do we know this? Because God has given us the book of heaven. Read it, study it, put it into practice. You're going to see our dogma and doctrine. You're going to see all of sacred scripture. You're going to see all of the teaching and the tradition of the church. You're going to see Jesus and Mary through this little newborn, Louisa. This is what our God has given us, and what a glorious time to be alive. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.